Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the many, many blessings you've poured upon us all throughout this day. And now, once again, the awesome opportunity to get back into your word. We truly thank you for it. So we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word offend, we'll turn to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 4. We see here some teachings from the Lord concerning the parable about the seeds and the sower. It reads in chapter 4, "And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. What he's speaking of there is the willingness of them to hear and to see, rather than saying that it was restricted from them. It would be available for them if they wanted to receive it. But they had their eyes closed and their ears plugged. As he continues, And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. There we see the use of the word offended, part of our word study. As it continues, And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Thus we see him teaching about how sowing the seeds. As we go out and spread the gospel, we are sowing the seeds. Some will be fruitful, some will not. Some will be offended, and others will not. Some will take a little bit of offense when they get a little criticism, the persecutions or conflict, and they flee from it, turn against the word. But those that will endure, they will be saved. All right, now go to Mark in chapter 6. We see another use of the word offend. In Mark chapter 6, Pick it up in verse 1. And he, being Jesus Christ, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. They were offended at him because they felt like he shouldn't have such abilities, that he was just a common person. So how could he proclaim what he has proclaimed? And they took offense of it, as he continues. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. They resisted. They didn't want to accept it. They didn't want to believe. Because they thought, well, we know him. We saw him grow up. We know his family. So how could he be anything special? All right, now turn to Mark in chapter 9. See another use of the word offend. Pick it up in verse 33. Mark 9:33 reads, And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, What was it that was disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and servant of all. And he took a child, and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us, and we forbade him, because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he were cast into the sea. To put an offense, to put a stumbling block, to put a barrier, to cause a child or a new believer, which could also be considered one of the little ones, a problem in front of any of them is going to result in judgment. It's going to result in hardship. You should not do such a thing as to cause an obstacle, to cause an offense, because it says better off dead, as it continues. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. For their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For every one shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. All right, let's look at this a little bit more. He's not talking about to literally maim or mutilate yourselves. He's not talking to actually physically cut your hand off if it's offending you. He's talking about remove that temptation. Take that away. Cut it from you in that manner of speaking. But not to literally cut your hand off, your foot off, or poke your eye out. But to remove that. To pray and find out what those temptations are and to get them removed. Eliminate them from your life because they will bring you down. And be as salt. That means to have the influence, the penetrating, long-lasting influence in changing things as salt does. All right, now go to Mark in chapter 14. Here we see another use of the word offend as offended in Mark chapter 14. Picking up verse 26, where it reads, "And when he had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee." Now he was telling them, prophesying to them, about what was about to happen. He was about to be betrayed by Judas Iscariot, turned over to a group of Pharisees, Sadducees, the high priests, taken, falsely accused, judged, turned over to the Romans, and eventually crucified. Die on that cross. Be buried. Raised again the third day. He stuck around some 40 days preaching and teaching, and then ascended to the Father. And he's given them bits and pieces and clues, prophesying to them. Yet they did not have the understanding of what he was saying. But later they would understand it all, look back. Oh, that's what he was talking about. Like he says there in verse 28, "But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee." And he goes before them and interacts with them after he is risen from the grave. And that being offended, they were all afraid. They were all cowering in fear and fleeing because they didn't want to be arrested also. Because that was what was about to occur. Let's look at this again, right from the beginning. "And when he had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And they came to the place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Teaching us here about how we need to pray for the will of the Father, not for our own will, but for his will. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again. For their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And of course that was Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. He was arrested, and all the disciples fled. As he had said, Peter and John followed him from a distance, didn't want to get caught up into that arrest, but followed him, watched, and some come to Peter and asked him if he was one of the followers, a believer. He denied, just like the Lord said. Prophesied and fulfilled, just as he prophesied and fulfilled his resurrection and his ascension and so many other things. All right, now go to Luke in chapter 7. Got another reference here to the word offend and use of offended, shall not be offended, in Luke chapter 7. In verse 19, backing things up here in the timeline, in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 7, verse 19. And John calling unto him two of his disciples. Now this John here is John the Baptist, and calling some of his disciples. John at this time is arrested. And while being captive, he was able to speak to some of his disciples, and he was curious. He'd been hearing about what's going on with the work of the Lord. So we get back into it here in Luke chapter 7, verse 19. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Of course, they were speaking to Jesus Christ. Reads, and in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John that what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor of the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. That statement, profound statement. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Extra blessings come unto those who do not take offense of being a Christian or are not offended in Christ. Proclaiming that clear and simple. All right, now go to Luke in chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, pick it right up in verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, of course, Jesus Christ, to the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. Now these offenses are the offenses against the Christians. And he's saying, woe unto those that cause such offenses to Christians. They will be held accountable. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Repeating what he said earlier when he was speaking about that child that he had. So all those out there that are going up against the Christians, it's warning to them. You'd be better off dead than offend a Christian. As he continues, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now he's pointing out here there might be some offenses, some things coming your way, but still be forgiven of those that have done such things. Judgment is for the Lord to perform, not for us. So we need to be forgiving. Of those that come and ask for forgiveness, we give them forgiveness. All right, now go to the Gospel of John. In Gospel of John, in chapter 6, and pick it up here. In verse 26, some more teachings from the Lord. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Now, these that he's speaking to are those that were part of that miraculous feeding when they fed the multitudes, when the Lord broke up the fragments and of the barley loaves and shared them with over 5,000 people, and they were interested in getting more free handouts. And he's pointing them out right here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Isn't that comforting words there, to know that when we become born again, when we become adopted into the family, that is sealed. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that is, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Talking about his sacrifice. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They were thinking literally to consume him in that physical way. But he was speaking spiritual, as he continues. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Now this eating is consuming, is taking in. Just like, literally, as we consume food, it becomes part of us, and it nourishes us. As it continues in verse 58, This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? They weren't comprehending the spiritual message behind it. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doeth this offend you? Did it offend them? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. That was the key. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew that from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. Clearly telling him right there, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Let him know. He's not talking about physically become a bunch of cannibals. No, he's talking about taking him in, receiving him. When we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we take in and are indwelt with the Holy Ghost. And that's taking Jesus in. And he becomes a part of us. And he gives us everlasting life. And his sacrifice, he gave his body, physical body, to be tortured and killed on that cross. He gave up the ghost for us, willingly. He gave that up. And died on that cross for us so that we could have everlasting life, become adopted into the family. So take in Jesus Christ and live forever. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for the wisdom that you give us by studying your word. Help us to truly receive that and apply it correctly and share it with others as well. And to share the wisdom that you give us and the understanding that you give us with others out there that need that. We thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your work. We look forward to all the many things you have promised us in your word. So we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank y'all.